Well, welcome back to our podcast for the Women's Month Fierce 2024, where we continue to explore the theme being brave. So in today's topic, we get to discuss taking risk both professionally and personally. So it's quite an exciting topic. So we're excited to hear what you guys have in store for us. So we just want to welcome Minister Cindy and Shanice with us today. Are you guys excited to dive in?
Yeah, so excited.
Awesome. Thank you, ladies, so much. We know that we're going to have an amazing conversation. Mm. In the back, we were just sharing that we were going to prepare our laughter. So you guys just make us laugh. No pressure. But yeah, I think let's just get straight into it. Today we're speaking about taking risks, right? Mm-hmm. And specifically risks that they relate to our career and how we grow just as women and really just as people, right? So I think the first question that we can just speak to is, let us know about the importance of taking calculated risks in the personal and professional environment. Maybe we can start with you, Sis.
Of course. So in simple terms, what is risk, right? Mm. Risk is the probability of something going wrong.
Yeah.
It can be in your health, your finances, in your family, but ultimately that's what the definition is. Mm. So I work in a very technical space. I work in the AI and analytics space. So Everything about my professional life is calculated. Mm. And it's figured down to the very last point, if I can say. Mm. So calculated risk means you examining your environment. It's you taking all of the denominations, analyzing it to get like a single output. Mm. So how I would say that has impacted my life. Firstly, when I got the topic for this podcast, I was like, I am not a risk taker. Why is anybody asking me to speak?
Especially for food. I'm not a risk taker
when it comes to food. Exactly. Tess, you want to know what you're eating.
Don't be disappointed.
Why are you not? I thought that I wasn't a risk taker. I was like, that is absolutely not me. Yeah. Like, that is not who I am. Mm. But when I actually took a step back and I thought about it, I realized that I am a calculated risk taker. Mm-hmm. So I don't just jump in to something. I think about it, I analyze, and I execute accordingly in both personal and professional. Mm. And I think for us, you know, being women of faith and having that connection with God, that plays a huge role. Because if you look at your personal life and you incorporate that into your everyday life, your risks become more calculated, if I can say.
Yeah.
Cindy? Let me punt it to my partner.
Tag, you're it. I think for me, as Shanice was saying, professionally, and when I was also given the topic, calculated risk, I was like, how did Pastor Janine know that I took a calculated risk this year, specifically when it came to my new role that I'm in right now? So basically last year, the manager in the role that I'm currently in approached me and asked me to join her team.
Okay.
We are in the same department, but she just wanted me to join her team. And my first response was, no. Your area is crazy. Yeah. You are crazy busy. There is just too much work to do. It's a difficult space to navigate.
Yeah. Yes.
She kept on pestering me to join her team. And I was like, God, is this from you joining this team? Because internally, I was also having a bit of a tug of war because I wanted something new. And this opportunity came up. Anyway, fast forward, December came. I was meant to get a promotion in the role that I was in. Mm. The promotion didn't go through. So I was disappointed. And then, obviously, at the back of my head, there's this other position that this manager is asking me to go into. It was an upgrade, basically a promotion to a higher level. But obviously, the area put me a little bit off. I was excited to like go and learn a new skill, but the technical part of it, I was not qualified for that role. So that put me off from even applying for the role. Fast forward, January came. Because the promotion didn't come through, obviously I was disappointed. But it was like, God, if it's your plan, the promotion will come through in the next cycle. Had a conversation with my manager at that point, and it was kind of like promised that the promotion would come through now in July. Anyway, I prayed a lot about it because now I have to make a choice. Apply for the new role or stay in my current position that I was in, knowing that a promotion is coming in July. I did a lot of praying. Did my pros and my cons. The cons outweighed the pros in moving. So again, in my head it was, I'm staying where I'm at. I know the area, I'm comfortable.
The pros have spoken.
The cons the have cons spoken. Cons, I should stay. Anyway, I continued to pray because I wasn't settled in my spirit. And then I just applied. I was like, Lord, let me apply for this position in January. If I go forward, it's in your hands. Anyway, I got accepted and I went forward. Second interview with the head of the department. And I got the role. Now I had to make a decision, accept or decline. Prayed again about it because I wasn't 100% sure. Then confirmation started coming through. And it was go. And I was like, Lord, if you are saying go, then I will go. Because I don't want to make a good decision. I want to make a God decision. That was my prayer. That's if so you're true. Saying go, I will go. Anyway, I moved in April. I'm 3 months in the role. What happened in July this year was all promotions and positions were frozen. So I would not have been promoted anyway if I had stayed in the role that I was in. So in hindsight, you know, looking back, listening to God, first of all,
it was a good idea.
It was a good thing. Agreeing to go was a good thing. Where the calculated risk comes in is I didn't just jump at the opportunity to move to a higher position. I prayed about it. There was a lot of praying. There was a lot of fasting, looking at the pros and cons. And like I said, even though the cons outweighed the pros, when God said, go, I
was to like, go.
Okay, I'm going.
I think on that, Cindy, obviously, like you said, you had to listen to God's voice at the time. So how do you actually distinguish that it's God's voice, and how do you learn to trust Him in that time of taking that risk?
So our God is a personal God.
Exactly.
And the way He speaks to me will be different to the way He speaks to Shanice. And that's what makes a relationship with Him so wonderful is that He's personal with me. And I can tell you how He speaks to me. It's through dreams. And it's through devotions and worship songs. So even when I was going through that period, all the devotions that came through was about new beginnings. Was about leaving the past and looking forward. It was about not remembering the things of old. The dreams I had was about, believe it or not, about a gynae telling me it's time to give birth. That was one of the dreams. And it all speaks to new beginnings. A new thing. That was also one of the scriptures. He's doing a new thing. And one of the main scriptures, remember I said I was a bit to the other area because of the work that was involved. Also, I doubted myself and my abilities to do that because I wasn't qualified. one of the scriptures that spoke to me was, he's going with me. Mm. So he goes before me. He goes to prepare the way.
Yes.
And then the beautiful saying that he qualifies the called. So that gave me hope. I'm in the position. It's tough.
Yeah.
There's a lot of learning. But yeah, he's with me.
Yeah.
And that's the promise I hold on to when it does get tough. I'm like, God, you
right there.
Are with me.
Holding your hand. Yeah.
You sent me, so you will get me through all of this.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And look at you now.
Look at you
look at me now.
Look at you now. I think imposter syndrome is something that we all struggle with as women. You see it in your everyday life, be it professional, be it personal, whether you're a career woman, whether you're a mom. And I think that's one of the biggest struggles that we face daily. We're constantly battling with imposter syndrome. And in order for you to know when something is from God, you truly have to be submerged in His Word.
Yes.
And like Cindy said, relationships are different.
Yeah.
I don't dream. If I had a dream that I was giving birth, I would probably panic.
What is going on, Jesus?
Not for me right now. So I definitely don't have dreams. But I think for me, I look for signs.
Okay. Yes.
And if I don't find my signs, I sort of dig it out by fasting and praying. I think that is the one thing that you can rely on is when you fast, when you pray, when you sacrifice something. I think a lot of the times we think that we need to make sacrifices of monetary or physical sacrifices. But sometimes just that fasting and that prayer lets God guide you. And I think that's what works for me when I'm taking my risks.
Yeah. So Tess, how do you think that, or well, not, how do you know that God is speaking to you?
I'm like Cindy. I get
dreams.
You're a dreamer. I get dreams. And my mom keeps telling me to write them down. Yeah. I'm not as obedient.
Okay.
But when it happens, and I'm like, Mom, she's my human diary. So I'll be like, Mom, do you remember when I told you that dream? She's like, but did you write it? So I'm still in the process of learning to write it, but I'm also a dreamer. What about you?
I think I go into that wrestling with God vibe where I need to be at peace, right?
Yeah.
So I think God speaks to me through His peace, and it would always be where I'm like very real. Not when I start off the prayer or the conversation with like, you deserve the glory and all of those vibes, but when I'm just like, okay, hi. Let's just connect. And then God will speak. I think for me, it's very, very genuine. Maybe like when God senses that I'm like, I'm being real now that He comes in. But at other times, it can be through dreams. But for me, sometimes it's just like you have to understand what the dream means. So it's the interpretation that
like yours.
I still need to learn. But yeah, God definitely speaks. And I think that even in the direction, right, that He gives us in our personal and professional directions, He continues to speak. And and how beautiful that we can actually just trust His voice. Because we've learned to know it. So yeah, that's how He speaks to me.
Nice.
Beautiful.
And then ladies, is there an example of an individual that you can talk about that took the risk and then reaped the rewards?
Publicly.
Because you were the first example. So maybe biblically or whenever.
Yeah, no. So biblically, Shanice and I actually discussed this.
Look at you guys.
We're good students.
Okay. We actually looked at the lady that gate crashed a dinner in Bethany. And anointed Jesus with very expensive perfume and wept at His feet and dried her tears or dried His feet with her hair. So she's mentioned in the Synoptic Gospel. So in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, she's mentioned. And John gives her a name and says her name is Mary. But in all of the four Gospels, it speaks about this woman having a reputation could be a prostitute. But the disciples and the men that were there were like, Jesus, don't you know who's this woman that is touching you? Mm. And this woman, you know, when we thought about it, so we'll call her Mary. When we thought about it, it was like, did she calculate the risk of going into that house?
Mm-hmm.
And I think she did.
She went ahead.
And she went in. Yeah. Imagine you being a woman, knowing that you have a reputation, stepping into a party that you weren't invited to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Knowing that all eyes are going to be on you.
Yeah.
That's a risk you're taking.
Yeah, that's a big risk. Yeah.
That's a risk you're taking.
Yeah.
But she went in.
Mm.
She went in because she knew that there was someone there that was able to answer her, to deliver her, to give her something that she needed. And so she stepped in. Mm. And Simon, whose house they were in, obviously noticed this is a woman that has a reputation and asked, Jesus, like, don't you know? Or Jesus perceived that this is what's in his heart. And Jesus answered him and said, I've been here. I came in. You didn't give me any water for my feet. You didn't wash my feet. Yet this woman is washing my feet with her tears. She's anointed me with this very expensive perfume. And then there's an account of Judas Iscariot. We know that guy. He mentions... This woman has spent this amount of perfume on you. It's almost like a year's wages. It's wasted. And Jesus kind of like rebuked him. But the beauty of it, what happened, the end result, her sins was forgiven. Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And I want to read this passage. It's in Matthew 26:13, which is so amazing.
Yeah.
Jesus says, truly, I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her.
Wow.
Sure. Yeah.
So her calculated risk, the risk that she took, her act of humility is going to be told forever.
Yeah. She gets a new reputation.
Brand new.
Yes.
That was her new beginning.
Yeah. I think in taking risks, we can really, taking calculated risks, we can really find God. And we can really see him. And I think we can always just take the calculated risk of trusting God.
Yeah.
Because when we look at the word and when we look at stories of people who have trusted God and weren't failed, that gives us confidence that we can actually trust God. So ladies, thank you so much for sharing your stories and your journey. We wish you all the best as you continue taking calculated risks.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.